الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had read the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب الرشوة, the chapter with regards to the stern prohibition of bribery and taking bribes and giving payments and other benefits in order to obtain a right that one does not deserve, or in order to deny someone their right. And we have seen that there's a curse with regards to this. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may the curse of Allah be upon Ar-Rashi wal-Murtashi. The Rashi, he's the one who gives. He's the one who gives the rishwa. He's the one who gives the bribe. And the Murtashi, he is the one who takes that. So we see that there's a curse with regards to this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua against his people, and that the curse of Allah will be upon them, meaning that they will be cast far away from the mercy of Allah, meaning that the anger of Allah will befall them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is an indication here that this is a major sin. And we've seen likewise in the previous class that الرِّشْوَة, it is يعني دَفْعُ مَالٍ لِإِحْقَاقِ بَاطِلٍ أو لِإِبْطَالِ حَقٍ أو مَنْفَعَةٍ مَا أو مَسْلَحَةٍ. يعني to give somebody some wealth, to give them some money, to pay them off, any either with cash or even with some type of benefit that they would do for them in exchange. They would do something for them in order to take a right that they do not deserve, or to deny someone their right. And this occurs in many different fields, and from the most severe of them is with regards to judgment and ruling in the courts, and that one, he will pay off a judge and the likes in order to rule in his case, in order to judge for him. And this is a major affair, and even more severe, especially when it's related to the rights of the people, in the cases that one, he would pay somebody the rishwa in order for the judge to overlook the truth and to lean and incline to the position of a particular individual because of that money, and to give him a right that he does not deserve, or to aid him and support him in his case in this manner like this. Either someone is claiming that he had taken their right, and then he will deny that. He will deny that for him because he paid him some money, or he has a right coming that is not his, and he is striving to get that, and therefore he would obtain that by paying some money to the judge and the likes like this. All of this is considered bribery, and this is a major sin. And many times it happens in the fields of the official offices, of the offices of the official positions in the government offices, and likewise in the state offices, so on and so forth. And in any field, whenever there is an individual who is an employee and it's a requirement for him in his occupation that he fulfill certain obligations and requirements, and then a person will come and offer some money for him to overlook that requirement, or to give him a right that he does not deserve, and the likes like this, for example, to put him forward, or to put his paperwork forward above others. And thus, in this manner, he will be taking the rights of all those who have preceded him, and the likes like this. So he'll bribe him with some money. So the one who bribes in this manner and he offers to give that money, he's cursed. He's cursed by the Messenger of Allah. The Messenger of Allah made dua against him and mentioned that the curse of Allah is upon this individual. And likewise, the one who takes it. We've seen it as well with a state officer, for example, and an individual, maybe he will violate one of the traffic violations, and then whenever he deals with the officer, he will offer the officer some money. Yani to overlook the ticket, so he does not get a ticket, and so it will not go on his record, and so that his insurance will not yani increase, so on and so forth. So the man, he will know that he violated the issue and that he deserves a ticket, but he will offer the bribe. He will offer the rishwa. This right here is forbidden. And the one who offers that, he's cursed. And likewise, if that individual were to take that and accept that, then he will be cursed as well. As for in the other case, if it was backwards, and an individual the officer lied or he cheated and the likes like this, and then he bribed the individual and he told him that you have violated this particular right, and they both know he didn't violate the right, that the officer's lying, and then the officer bribes him, for example, and says, well, I will not write you the ticket if you just pay me such and such and such and such. So now the person here, he's wrong, and the officer is in violation, and he's falling into rishwa. He's falling into rishwa. But as for the one on the other hand, now he's being oppressed. This individual now is being oppressed, and so either he's going to take a ticket that he does not deserve, or he's going to pay a price that is lesser than that in order to avoid that. So this in this time, the people of Nod has mentioned it will be allowed for him to pay. And it will be haram for the person to take it, yet allowed for him to give it, in order to avoid the greater harm. Likewise, in the government offices or in the state offices or in the different districts and the likes like this, whenever there are individuals who are employees and they're supposed to do their job properly, but they will not do it except if you pay them. Meaning they work by bribery. They work by rishwa, and it's known like this. And even at this time, if a person is not able for him to get his right except by paying that, it's allowed for him to pay it, and it's haram for the individual to take it. So in this case, yani is haram in one aspect and allowed in the other. So it's haram for the individual to take it and to receive it, but as for the one who's giving it, he's forced, and they put him in a situation where he cannot obtain his right except in this manner. So therefore, it's allowed for him. But this is not something that a person will use and take advantage of. It's only in the case of necessity, whenever there's no other way for him to get his right. As for if he could, for example, go to the person who is higher up, like the manager, and tell the person, he's bribing me. Or he can go to another avenue. Another window. He could take another avenue, or there's another option that he has. This is not his only option to get his right. Then it will not be allowed for him to give the bribery, because he has other options. This is only whenever this is the only option he has, and he's forced now, and it's for necessity. And likewise, it's not going to be involving denying somebody else their right. Also, it's not going to involve denying somebody else their right. For example, if a person, he's coming to do some paperwork, and it's known that the paperwork takes time. So you come one time, and you come back again, and in 2 weeks. This is the normal flow or the way that this particular office works, that you come and you present your paperwork and you come back in 2 weeks and you get your documents that you're needing and the likes like this. So everyone who comes, they follow this procedure, and they come and they present their paperwork and they all come back any 2 weeks according to their way. So now a person, if he came and then he offered along with his documents that he's presenting some money to come back in a week instead of 2 weeks, or to have his paperwork taken now, and he like this, and this is something that's between him and the employee, then now this is not allowed. Even if the individual, he was, for example, in need, because now he is violating the law and the organization and the procedure that is set in place, and in turn, likewise, violating the rights of all those who have preceded. So this will not be allowed now, because now he's violating the rights of others, and in this manner, with this rishwa. As for if the employee, he denied him and would not file his paperwork, or kept delaying him intentionally on purpose, and the likes like this, and now he had no choice except for to pay the bribe, now it would be allowed, and Allah knows best. But there's a curse with regards to this. So again, whenever something is originally haram or forbidden, and even more severe from the major sins, it's not something that one would take lightly. And that he will say, oh, well, it's allowed because of this situation and that situation. And it's only allowed according to necessity. وَكُلُّ مَحْظُورٍ مَعْ ضَرُورَةٍ بِقَدْرِ مَا تَحْتَاجُهُ الضَّرُورَةِ. That everything that is impermissible, but it's allowed in the time of necessity, it's only allowed according to the necessity. So this is a very dangerous affair. So we shouldn't take it lightly, in this manner like this. And the rishwa is a foul way, and it's from the ways of the Jews. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And many times the word السُحْد, أَكَّلُونَ لِلسُحْد. And what is intended here is the rishwa, that they eat the suhd. The people of Nod, as they mentioned the word suhd, what does it mean? It means haram, شديد التحريم. Something that is haram, but it's severely haram. And it's a major affair. So to eat the wealth in this manner and to falsely take the wealth of the people in this manner, this is a foul in a lowly way, and it's from the major sins. This is if the issue is directly. But there are other aspects of how ritual work will occur likewise. So this is direct bribery. This is direct bribery. For example, we've seen as well, like in schools, maybe somebody, he's a lazy student, or he's not a good student, but he needs to pass in order to get his diploma and the likes like this, or he needs to have a particular grade average all throughout his school history in order to achieve a particular job that he's hoping for. And some things happen that he did not achieve those grades, or he's afraid that he will not achieve those grades. So therefore, he will go to the teacher or to the administrators and the likes like this, and he will bribe them and offer them to pay some money to rearrange his grades, or to give him extra credit, or to change his documents and the likes like this. All of this is considered, rishwa, and from the major sins. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the curse of Allah is upon these people. Also, we see in the narration, the author, he mentioned as well, rahimahullahu ta'ala, of Thoban. And there was an additional wording. And we mentioned in the previous class that this addition here, ziyadatul munkara. That this addition here is not authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the people of knowledge have mentioned that Allah knows best, and it's included, or in a bare minimum, he's in also in a dangerous affair. Yani the ra'ish, the one who goes between the two of them. La'an Allahu ar-rashi wal-murtashi wal-ra'ish. And the ra'ish, he's the wasit. He's the one who goes between the two. So sometimes the people, whenever they become corrupted, one of them who has position, he will work with the mediator, and then the mediator will go out and get people, and he will tell people so and so, oh, you can't, I can bump you up, or I can do this for you, or I can do that for you. If you give me this amount of money, I can take your paperwork for you, and I can move it, and I can get it moving for you. Like so he'll be a mediator in between the two. So this is the intent from the Ra'ish and the narration here of Thoban radiallahu anhu. And although this mention here, this portion of the narration, is not authentic, but the meaning, Allah knows best, is correct. Yani from the aspect of him falling into the major sin. Yani the evidences for that is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ana akila riba wa mukilahu. Akila riba wa mukilahu. And other than that, likewise, from them. وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَهِدَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the one who takes the riba, and the one who gives the riba, the interest, and the one who writes the contract likewise, and those who witness it. And in some narrations, هُمْ فِي الْإِثْمِ سَوَاءَ, that they're with regards to the sin, they're all equal. They're all equal. And so the one who takes it and the one who gives it, it's clear. But likewise, the one who witnesses it and bears witness to that, and the one who signs the contract for that, they're all equal in the crime, because they're all participating together. So likewise, and Allah knows best, this Ra'ish, the one who's going in between the one giving and taking the bribe, he's participating with them. And Allah, he says, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. And this is from that cooperation. And the one who cooperates upon that affair, then likewise he has the sin of that as well. So even though it's not authentic here, wallahu a'lam, he's still falling into a major affair. Allah knows best if he falls under the curse or not, but no doubt he falls under a threat, and he's committing a major crime by cooperating with the people. One, he will go in between the individuals and he will bribe them, but he will make an agreement with the people of authority and the likes like this. So then he'll be working in between them, and he'll be the mediator. Even if he didn't take any money, then no doubt he's still committing a major crime. So all of this is forbidden in al-Islam, and it is not allowed. And the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla has clarified that this is a foul way, and rather it's a major sin, and it's a great threat with the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the curse of Allah with regards to that. Now the author, he begins to mention a number of other aspects of this that's not direct, rather that it's indirect. So he says, Babu Hadaya al-Umara Ghulul. Babu Hadaya al-Umara Ghulul. The chapter with regards to the issue that al-hadaya al-umara, yani al-umal, the giving gifts, the gifts that are given to the umara, meaning those people who are government officials, and they work in the government and state offices. Ghulul. Ghulul, the people of knowledge, they mention, yani the word ghulul, it means al-khiyana. في المغنم ونحوه. الخيانة في المغنم specifically ونحوه. That الغلول, this is to betray. This is to betray the trust and to act in a manner of treachery with regards to the spoils of war, and to take the spoils of war before they have been divided, and to take them unlawfully. This is the original meaning of the word غلول. But likewise, any other than that, and similar to this affair here, the wealth of the government and of the Muslim society, بيت المال. And so this is something that also is considered غلول. And what is intended here? خيانة. الخيانة, meaning it's betrayal and treachery. It's betrayal and treachery and taking the wealth unlawfully. And taking the wealth unlawfully. So to give the government workers gifts and the likes like this, this is considered a type of betrayal. And likewise a type of غلول. And the aspect of that is that in reality it is rishwa. It is rishwa, it's bribery. It is bribery. So before, in the previous chapter, their prohibition was to go directly to somebody and to bribe them straight up in their face, and directly with the wealth, and offer them that, and with no shame. Here is similar, but they're going around and pretending to give a gift. But in reality, the only reason that that person is receiving a gift is because of his position, and because of his occupation, and because of where he's at, and that which is hoped from him, from some type of benefit, or some type of gain because of his position. As for if that individual, he was not in that office. If he was not in that office, he would not receive that gift from that individual. So to give gifts, no doubt, this is from the manners of the believers. And the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged that. He encouraged that. It has been narrated from him authentically, ﷺ, تَهَادُوا تَحَابُوا, that you should give gifts to one another so that you will love one another. Give gifts to one another so that you will love one another. So to give gifts for the sake of Allah to your brother in Islam and the likes like this, this is from the good deeds and from the means of strengthening brotherhood and strengthening the love and the bonds of brotherhood. And this is something that is beneficial. It's something that is good. It's something that is recommended, to give a gift to your brother for the sake of Allah, hoping nothing from him in return. Only to please Allah Azza wa Jal and to strengthen the relationship with that brother, and to show love and brotherhood and the likes like this, and to show respect. This is a good deed, and this is something that is recommended. But there are certain circumstances whenever this could be considered a type of bribery. This could be considered a type of bribery, and from those circumstances is here. In the case whenever a person, he has an official position, an official position in the government or in the state offices and the likes like this, or he has a position where he is required to perform particular actions and rights, and this is incumbent upon him to perform those rights, and to give him a gift now is like bribing him. It's like bribing him to lean towards the one who's giving him the gift. For example, if he's a judge, somebody goes to the judge, he has a case with him, he gives him a gift. And even if he just wanted to give him a gift, even if he had a good intention, he's not trying to bribe him, but this could lead to that bribery. And likewise, it could have effect on the judge, that whenever it comes to ruling, maybe he will remember the good deed that he done for him and the gift that he gave to him, and it could cause his heart to incline towards him and then to be unjust in his ruling. So it could, if it's not directly haram and intended, a foul intention, it's a means that leads to that. For example, somebody who is a teacher in a public school or in the state schools or in the government schools and the likes like this, where there are grades and where there are tests and where there is passing and where there's failing, and that it's hoped that the teacher will pass the student, and it's feared that the teacher will fail him. And the likes like this, and this will affect his grades and affect his progress in the school, so on and so forth, and then affect his outcome in the end. And to give that type of person a gift, this is not allowed. For the student to give him a gift, this is not allowed. This is not allowed, because maybe if he gave him the gift, then even if he was sincere in that and he's kind in that, and only he wanted to show respect to his teacher, it's still not allowed because of what it could lead to. Because maybe that now whenever the teacher is grading the test, he's grading this student who didn't give him a gift, he's checking them left and right. When the one who gave him the gift, he remembers, we'll let him go on this one. Oh, this one right here. Like this, maybe it would cause his heart to become weak, because the hadiyah, the gift, it affects you. Somebody gives you a gift, this brings you close to them. This is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged the believers to give gifts to one another. And the best hadiyah, the best hadaya, the hadaya of the Sahaba was hadaya al-ilm, the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of knowledge. Yani, but the point is now is the gift, yani, something that is valuable, giving something that is valuable from the worldly life, from the worldly lives. So to give gifts, no doubt, is praiseworthy and good. But in certain circumstances, it's not allowed because it's an avenue and a means that leads to something that is haram, and it leads to the violation of rights, and it leads to the corruption of the organization of the society and the likes like this, and the peaceful flow of the society and every individual getting the rights that he deserves. So therefore, this is not allowed. Rather, it's from the major sin. So the author, he says, an Abi Humaydin radiyallahu anhu, an Abi Humayd yani Asa'idi radiyallahu anhu, qala istama'a Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulan 'ala sadaqah, falamma qadima qala hadha lakum wa hadha uhdiya ilayya. So Abu Humayd radiyallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed an individual in charge of the sadaqah. Istama'ahu yani ja'alu 'amilan, ja'aluhu 'amilan, he placed him in charge of the sadaqah, meaning of the obligatory charity, meaning he placed him from those who work in the path of the charity. يعني جعله عاملا يعني جابيا ساعيا في الصدقات. He's going to be from those collectors to go collect the sadaqah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever the man, he went out to collect the obligatory zakat, he returned with the wealth, and then he said, "This is for you, and this is for me. This was a gift. This is for you. This is the sadaqah, this is the zakat that I collected. As for this portion here, this was a gift for me. This was a gift for me." So the man, again, he was set over a government office. He's given a government office. He's working for the Islamic government at the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the ruler, and he's sending him out to take care of government affairs. You understand this? He's going out to collect the zakat, the obligatory zakat, which is the right of the fuqara and those who deserve it, to bring it back to the Muslim ruler, to the Muslim leader, and then he will be distributed in the manner proper. So this was his occupation, and this was what he was obliged to do. And whenever he left, he went out there and he gathered that charity, and then in the process, the people he gathered the zakat from, some of them gave him a gift. Some of him gave him a gift. And then whenever he returned, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This is for you, and this is me for me. This is the gift. This is the gift." So, in a situation like this, maybe a person, maybe he was being kind, possibly, but it could likewise lead to the individual the next time he comes to overlook some affairs. Whenever he counts the zakat of this person next time, maybe he will overlook the affairs. Or maybe he will put a blind eye to some of the issues that are happening on his farm or on his land. Or that he will overlook the zakat that he has. Or he will miscount. Or he will not take the best of it. Maybe there will be some type of benefit that will come from that. And then because of this, the rights will be violated. Or maybe he will do that intentionally. And this is many times the case, that he will give that person, that individual there, a gift intentionally, yani, to have a hand over him and to try to draw him close in order to have some type of benefit, so that way he would do some good for him or cover his faults and the likes like this. So this is the case. At that individual, in any case, had he never went to that man as a worker in the sadaqah, he would never get any charity from him. They would never find, he would never, a gift would never have come to him from that man, except for the case that he's working in this field. In this field, we understand this. This is the point. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he reprimands. He says, "Qala, faqala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma balu rajuli nastamiluhu ala al-imala mimma wallana Allahu, fayakulu hadha lakum wa hadha uhdiya ilayya." He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reprimanded him immediately. And he said, what is the issue here? What is the issue here with a man that we put him in charge of a job? Imala yani jibaya to sadaqah, that we set him in charge and working for us in the collection of the zakat from the affairs that Allah has set us in charge of. And Allah has set us in charge of this affair. And then we ask you to help us, and we set you in charge of that, yani for us, yani to go take care of this issue. And then he comes back and he says, فَيَقُولُ هَذَا لَكُمْ وَهَذَا أُهْدِيَ إِلَيَّ. He says, and then he comes back and he says, "Oh, this is for you, and this one was given to me as a gift." فَهَلَا جَلَسَ فِي بَيْتِ أَبِيهِ أَوْ بَيْتِ أُمِّهِ فينظر هل يهدى إليه شيء أم لا. Should he not have just sat in the house of his father or the house of his mother and sit around and wait and see if anybody gives him a gift or not? Should he have, why didn't he not just sit in the house of his father or sit in the house of his mother and wait and see if any gifts come to him now? And so the point is that the only reason he got the gift was because of his position. Because of his position. So now there's at bare minimum the possibility that this could lead to corruption if it was not intended to bring corruption in the first place. We understand that. So this is also from the evidences of the great principle said al-dhara'i, the obligation of cutting and blocking all pathways that lead to the haram. Something that leads to the haram is haram. Something that is a pathway or a means that leads to the haram is haram. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come near the zina. Don't come near the fornication. So therefore, that's why looking is haram and speaking is haram and mixing freely is haram, because of what it leads to. So this is an example of that likewise. So to give gifts to these people in public offices and in official government and state positions and the likes like this, who have rights to perform, to give them gifts, this is a means to lead to bribery, if it's not bribery in the first place. If it's not bribery in the first place. Many times it is bribery. Many times it is bribery, and the person who will give that gift because of what he hopes from some type of benefit from that man in that office, or that individual who's working in that office, from that employee. So that's the only reason he gave him. As if that person was never in position in that office, then he would never receive a gift from that individual. As for somebody else was in there in that office who didn't receive the gift, but he's there next time, he might get the next gift. Why? Because he's the one in the office, and the individual giving him the gift, he's hoping something from him. He's hoping for him to overlook some affairs or to give him some rights that he does not deserve, and the likes like this. He need to have a hand with that individual. He's hoping to, with this gift, to draw him close to him so that he will benefit him in one way or another. And this is from the aspect of rishwa and from the major sins. Ghulul. The author, he says, this is from ghulul. It's been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically likewise about this. Yani hadayat umal ghulul, that the gift of the government officials and those workers in the offices and the likes like this, this is considered ghulul. Yani this is a betrayal in that position, and taking the money and taking the wealth unlawfully. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says now, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَأْخُذُ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ شَيْئًا بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهِ إِلَّا لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ يَحْمِرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنْ كَانَ بَعِيرٌ لَهُ رُغَاءٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ بَقَرَةً لَهَا خُوَارٌ أَوْ شَاةً تَيْعَرُ ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى رَأَيْنَا عُفْرَةَ إِبْطَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ هَلْ بَلَغْتُ قَالَهَا ثَلَاثًا. So after this, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warns the people, and he says, "I swear by the one whom Muhammad's soul is in his hands. I swear by the one whom the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his hands." Meaning, swearing by Allah, that not one of you will take something without right, except he will meet Allah azza wa jalla, and he will carry that. He will be carrying that on the day of resurrection, and even he will be carrying that. Meaning, he will be carrying that on his back. He'll be carrying that whatever he takes unlawfully, unrightfully, that he will bring that on the day of resurrection, carrying that on his shoulder, on his neck, on his back. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if it's a camel, lahu ruga, ruga is the sound of the camel. If it's a camel making the sound of the camel, then he's going to be carrying that on his back. If it's the baqara making the khuwar is the sound of the baqara, of the cow. Or if it's the shat tayar, ya'ar, this is the sound of the shah. I mean, even if it's one of these animals that he took unrightfully, he'll be carrying it on the day of resurrection. He'll be carrying it on the day of resurrection. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his hands now, supplicating, calling Allah until they were able to see the white from his underarms. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's raising his hands in a great manner, supplicating and calling on Allah, saying, "Oh Allah, have I conveyed? Oh Allah, have I conveyed?" Any meaning, clarifying, and that he has conveyed the message to the people. It's been narrated likewise that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that one of you should not come to me on the day of resurrection. One of you should not come to me on the day of resurrection. Ya Muhammad, saying, "Oh Muhammad, help me, help me, help me." يعني and he's got a, he's carrying a sheep or he's carrying a camel or he's carrying a horse similar like this or he's carrying this wealth on his back and I will say to him ما أملك لك من الله شيئا قد بلغتك. The prophet is going to say to him at this time whenever they're asking for his help that he says I have no authority with you against Allah. I have conveyed to you. So the message has been conveyed. So this is from those affairs that a person is threatened with in the hereafter. If he takes something unlawfully, and from that this money here, this gift here, that the one he takes from those official offices and positions and the likes like this, this is all considered from the rishwa and from akli and what in nasi bil baathil, eating the people's wealth unlawfully and unrightfully, taking the wealth unrightfully. Unrightfully. It's been collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Buraydah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من استعملناه على عمل فرزقناه رزقا فما أخذ بعد ذلك فهو غلول. That anyone that we have used in our public office, in our official offices, anyone who we have placed in authority and given him a job to perform for us, meaning for the Muslim government, meaning for the Muslim government, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the affairs of the Muslims, the general affairs and the public affairs, the official affairs of the Muslims. And then we provide for him provision, meaning we give him a salary and we pay him his wages. And then he takes something from that on top of that, then it's ghurul. Then it is ghurul, yani it's khiyana. It's khiyana and betrayal and wealth that is unlawful. And wealth that is unlawful. And wealth that is unlawful. So, again, these people here, it's not allowed. The one who is a judge, the one who has public offices, the one who is hoped from him some type of benefit or feared from him some type of harm in his position. He has authority in his position, in his office, and the likes like this. And it's hoped some benefit from him or it's feared from him some harm. For example, again, the one who is a teacher in the official schools and the likes like this, it's hoped from the teacher, any of the one who works in a government school or in a state school, and the likes like this, the one who checks and does grades and he passes and he fails, it's hoped that the teacher will pass the student and it's feared that he may fail him. So this person here, yurja wa yukhaf, he's in a position, he's working in a position, and he's being paid. To perform a particular task and requirements, and in that position it's hoped from him and feared from him. So this type of individual here, to give him a gift is haram and considered rishwa. It's haram and considered rishwa. Like this, because the teacher in this circumstance here, he's either going to pass the student or fail him. So if the teacher, if he's given gifts, if some students are giving him gifts, and the likes like this, maybe he will pass the one who deserves to be failed. Maybe he will pass the one who deserves to be failed. Or maybe he will give him a grade he doesn't deserve. Because this will call his heart. It will call him to incline to him and the likes like this. This is a means to corrupt his judgment. And to cause him to incline to that individual and give him a ride that he doesn't deserve. Even could be a reason to oppress others. And be like, oh, this student, he never gave me a gift. Or this student, his gift is nothing. Give him this. So and so, he gave me the big gift. The great, like this. So it could corrupt the teacher, even if initially the intention wasn't bad. This could be the outcome of that. It's very likely that this may happen. And many times the intention is actually bad. And that's why they will give gifts. Gifts will start coming at this time whenever a person is in need. And he'll be nice, he'll be kind, and he'll try to manipulate an individual like this. So all of this is haram and forbidden and not allowed. Either because of what it is directly from bribery or because of what it leads to from violation of rights. And all of this likewise is a clarification of the perfection and the completion of the deen of Allah. How it has covered all aspects of the life of the human being and has shut all doors to injustice. All is required from us is to learn that deen and to follow it sincerely. To learn that deen and to apply it and to establish it in our lives and follow it sincerely, and we will be guided. And we will be upright. And the society likewise will be rectified in this manner. After this, the author, he mentions another aspect of this affair. And this is also continuing from the original issue of rishwa, of bribery. Babu al-hadiyya ala shafa'a. The chapter with regards to giving gifts for intercession. to make intercession for somebody. Yani, so originally, likewise, the intercession is something that is praiseworthy. Yani, if it's done for something that is allowed and permissible. So a person, whenever he makes the shafa'ah, yani in the worldly affairs for his brother, this is something that is allowed. And the shafa'ah, yani the wasata. The wasata fi tahsiri, yani matruban. Fi tahsiri al-manfa'a aw fi daf'i al-madarra. Yani, so a person, he'll be in need of something. A person, he'll be in need of either obtaining some type of benefit, some type of worldly benefit, or he will be in need of avoiding or removing or lightening some type of harm that he's facing. Some type of harm but the individual himself, he's not able to bring about that benefit. He doesn't have the status or the rank or the position himself to bring about that benefit that he needs, or to remove that harm that he's afraid of or that he's involved in. He himself, he doesn't have that ability. But he knows someone who does have that ability, but he doesn't have connection with that person. So therefore he will go to somebody who has a connection with that person and connect him to that person. This is called shafa'ah. So the shafa'ah is either going to be shafa'ah hasana or it's going to be shafa'ah sayyi'ah. He's going to either make an intercession for somebody upon something that's good, or he's going to make an intercession for somebody upon something that's evil. As for the shafa'ah upon something that is good, then this is encouraged and praiseworthy. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, "Man yashfa' shafa'atan hasanatan, falahu nasibun minha." The one who does a good intercession, then he will have a portion of that, meaning from the reward of that. وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً فَلَهُ كِفْلٌ مِنْهَا. And whoever does an evil, makes an evil intercession on behalf of somebody, then he will have likewise the sin of that. He will bear the sin of that as well. So a good shafa'ah, for example, somebody who's hoping to be a student of knowledge. He wants to go study in the University of Medina, for example. But he does not have connections with the people in the administration. But he knows a teacher there. He knows a teacher there, or a student there, or someone who has connections with the administration. So now, if he goes to the administration by himself, maybe he'll be accepted, maybe he will not. But if he goes to the individual who has the connection with the administration, and he asks him to help him and to take his paperwork for him on his behalf and to mention him in a good light, then his opportunity may be greater. And it may be because of the relationship of the one who is asking for him will be a means for them to accept him. So here this is considered shafa'ah hasanah. This is a good deed. So he's helping his brother. In this manner do this good deed. So this is something that is a great means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ishfa'u tu'jaru. That you should intercede on behalf of your brothers and you will have a great reward for that. So therefore the origin with giving a shafa'ah hasana is that it's praiseworthy and it's an action of worship and it's a means to draw near to Allah and seek His pleasure. So therefore it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah. This is the first issue. So a person who's able to intercede on behalf of his brother for a benefit in this life, then he would do that. For example, maybe his brother wants to get married, but he doesn't know the wali of the woman that he wants to marry. So therefore, maybe the one who does know him will intercede on his behalf and he will mention him in a good light and he will tell him, "I know the brother. The brother is good. This brother here, he's looking to get married and I know about him and he has these good qualities and his religion is good, alhamdulillah," so on and so forth. And then he will go and intercede on his behalf and help him to get married or to help him find a job or to help him find an occupation. All of this is allowed and good. And the person who was helping him, making the intercession on his behalf, is praiseworthy. And he has a reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one who does that for something haram, now he has the sin of that. So if a person here were to intercede on behalf of somebody in order to obtain something that is haram and impermissible, then he will share in that sin. And he, for example, if he were to pray somebody and to intercede on their behalf for an occupation or for position that he does not deserve and he's not qualified for, and he will intercede and lie for him, and that he's qualified and that he deserves that position, and he knows that he's not rightful for that, then he's putting someone in position who does not deserve that, and he's helping to do that, so he'll have the sin of that. And it's not lawful for a person who's not qualified to take that position, or for somebody to intercede on behalf of somebody else to take a loan, for example, that has interest and the likes in it. And the person he wants to get a loan, he can't get a loan, not even with interest. So then somebody will intercede on his behalf. in order for him to get a loan with interest. And this is intercession sayyi'ah. This is any shafa'ah sayyi'ah. This is a bad intercession. So the one who intercedes, he will share in the sin of that. Wali'adhu billah. He will share in the sin of that. Wali'adhu billah. The point that we see now is that the intercession itself will either be like this or like that. Either it will be something good, interceding on behalf of somebody for something that is good and lawful and something that is praiseworthy, and in this case this is considered an action of worship and a means to draw near to Allah and something that someone will have a reward for. Ishfa'u tu'ajaru. Ishfa'u tu'ajaru. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, intercede on behalf of your brother and you will have a reward. وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ نَسِيبٌ مِنْهَا. He will have a portion of that. Any meaning, he will share in the reward of that. So this is an issue of ihsan and doing good and seeking the reward of Allah. So therefore, it's not allowed to take a reward for that, a worldly reward. Even if it's something permissible and allowed, it's not allowed to take money for that, to take a worldly reward for that. Rather, this is something that must be sincerely for the sake of Allah. And it must be something sincerely for the sake of Allah. And likewise, if he were to intercede on somebody, on behalf of somebody for something haram, that's already foul and lowly, then how could he receive a gift for that or reward or any worldly gain for that on top of the fact that he interceded on behalf of something that is impermissible and haram? So the author, he says, عن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه مرفوعة. It's narrated by Abu Umama رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من شفع لأخيه شفاعة فأهدى له هدية عليها فقابلها فقد أتى بابا. And you hear there's a word missing, عظيما. فأتى بابا عظيما من أبواب الربا رواه أبو داود. In the wording of Abu Dawood, فأتى بابا عظيما من أبواب الربا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever intercedes on behalf of his brother for an intercession and then his brother gives him a gift for that and he accepts it, then indeed he has come to a great door, yani for a great gateway from the gateways of interest. And he has fallen into riba. He has fallen into interest and he has taken wealth, an increase in the wealth that he does not deserve. And so this is a threat here. And because riba is a major sin. So this is something that is not allowed. So the author, he says, وَرَوَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْحَرْبِ عَنْ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ السُّحْتُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَ الرَّجُلَ الْحَاجَةَ فَتُقْضَى لَهُ فَيُهْدِ إِلَيْهِ فَيَقْبَلُهَا. So Ibrahim al-Harbi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 285 from the narrators of hadith. He said, he narrated from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said himself, as-suht, yani al-haram shadid, al-tahrim, as-suht, something that is severely haram, something that is haram in a great manner, is forbidden, is greatly forbidden. As-suht, this suht is that a man, he will seek a need from somebody, and then it will be taken care of, and then he will give them a gift for that, and then that person will accept it. We continue in the next class, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.